and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in His house to worship. We've already had a wonderful worship service this morning outside at 9:30, and we look forward to once again gathering around the table to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us as we worship this morning. We also are excited for those that are joining us via Facebook Live. We hope that you were able to gather the communion elements this morning as you walked in our time for our worship this morning. If you did not, if you want to just kind of raise your hand, I think I kind of got everybody as it came in this morning. We also hope that you came, for those who are watching via Facebook Live this morning, you were able to drive by the church, come by the church, and pick up those elements for our time of celebration this morning around the Lord's table. If you did not, though, you are welcome to find some element of bread to represent the body of Christ, or some element of juice or something to represent the blood of Christ. And as we celebrate communion a little bit later on in worship, join us in a time of celebration. As we gather here this morning, I do want to let you know we are going to continue for the month of October to continue to have a 9:30 worship service outside and 11 a.m. worship service in the sanctuary. As long as the weather permits, we do understand that at some point the weather is going to change and it's going to get too cold outside to have our 9:30 worship service. We know the weather is turning, and at some point that will take place and we will not be able to gather outside. But for the next Sunday, we'll continue to have our two worship services. On Sunday morning, October 11th, however, we are celebrating homecoming. We are going to have one worship service, as I mentioned, the Sunday before that. That service will be at 10 o'clock. It will be outside. However, we are going to stream that worship service here in the sanctuary. It will be shown on the screens here in the sanctuary for those that like to gather inside for worship that morning. Everything will be on the screen at 10 o'clock in here. Also, a reminder that Sunday we are going to have a fellowship lunch right after worship. It will be a catered box lunch. However, what we do need everybody to do, if you are planning to eat with us that day, we need to have those order forms in. This is the last Sunday, but by Wednesday, September 30th. Now, we mailed those forms out a week and a half or 2 weeks ago. And hopefully many of you have returned those, and we give you thanks for that. For those that are joining us via Facebook Live this morning, for those that are planning to join us on October 11th, thank you for returning those forms to us. However, you may have just forgotten. You may have misplaced that order form. If you did, before you leave today, if you gathered here with us in the sanctuary this morning, there are a couple of those order forms as you walk out today. You can still pick one of those up, fill that out. If you want to give it back to me this morning, you can. It's $7 a person for that catered box lunch meal. We need those back by this Wednesday, September 30th, so we can get those order forms in. Just a couple reminders about this week, some things going on in the life of our church. Our vision leadership team meeting had to be rescheduled from this past Monday to this Monday. They'll be meeting at 6 o'clock upstairs in the fellowship hall. We began our new Bible study on 6:30 this Wednesday. Here comes the judge. We're walking through the book of Judges. If you want to join with us for that time of study, it's on 6:30 on Facebook Live. You can go to our website and kind of look at the Bible study guides for that that time of study. Also, our prayer pack meets on Thursday at 11 o'clock upstairs in the fellowship for just a time of gathering of prayer and praying for, lifting up in prayer, our community, our congregation, and just a gathering of a fellowship of believers. So come out at 11 o'clock on Thursday for that time. Again, we are gathering around the Lord's table this morning. We are gathering united by the body and blood of Jesus Christ this morning. It is a good day to worship. It is a good day to celebrate. So let's stand and sing this morning at a time of celebration as we come together. Stand and sing with us this morning.
Thank you.
scripture reading this morning, or the scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, and so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from your blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. As we reflect this day on the ultimate sacrifice that was made for us, Jesus Christ our Lord, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. King of all the earth, creator of the entire universe, from everlasting to everlasting, you are Lord. And that is what we proclaim to you today. You are both merciful and full of loving kindness and great compassion. And you have washed us thoroughly from our wickedness and cleansed us from our sin. Against you alone have we sinned, and to you alone we do look for restoration. That is what has driven us to be in your presence today for worship. Who is like our God, the one who takes away the iniquity of his people, the one who gives them clean hearts and right spirits? We will rejoice, for your grace, O Lord, has overflowed for us. This is our God, the Holy One. We are in his presence today. We come before you today, lifting up thanksgiving and offering you the sacrifice of our praise, because that is what you have desired. That is what has driven us here today, and that is what we give you. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our next song is Let Us Break Bread Together. Let's stand.
Let us pray.
come to that as we come to the time of the service for our offertory, as we've already dropped our offering in the offering plate as you've entered today, we are reminded of the giving of gifts, and we're reminded of the gift that was given to us, a sacrifice that was made. So let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning, thanking Him for the generosity that He gives us on a daily basis. Let us pray. Faithful God, we gratefully acknowledge that You are the giver of all things. You generously bless us on a daily basis to meet the basic needs of life. You call us to share these gifts so that we may experience the joy and humility of giving to others. Father, we pray that this very act of sharing the offerings, the gifts that You give us, will enable us to be obedient disciples of Your work daily, weekly, monthly, for a lifetime. May our gifts this morning, our offerings that we bring, be a recognition and a means to proclaim that Your Son, Jesus Christ, is Lord, the greatest message that can be proclaimed. We bring this offering to You this day. Amen.
Thank you.
anticipate this morning partaking in communion, the body and blood of Christ, we just ask that you prepare our hearts and minds for that very act. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Good morning again. It is good to gather in the Lord's house this day. And as we gather here this day, we are reminded that the Lord blesses us every single day to worship Him. Not just on Sunday, but every single day. The Lord blesses us with the opportunity to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And that it is just a blessing to be here this day, especially with you to worship. And I hope as you gathered here with me, not just in our sanctuary, but via Facebook Live, that you have been blessed this week with opportunities to worship. And we look forward this day to celebrate communion as the body of Christ, as a church body. And as we prepare ourselves for this table, I want to ask you a question this morning. And the question I'm going to ask you is this. Have you ever been unexpectedly invited to a party or a dinner or a banquet table that you weren't expected to be invited to? Maybe you received an invitation in the mail. Maybe you got an invitation maybe from somebody at work or a family member, a distant family member. But have you ever been invited to a party that you just were not expected to be invited to? Yeah. I think all of us probably have been invited to something that we didn't expect to be invited to. Now, after you get over that initial shock, that initial like, oh, wow, I feel kind of special. I received that invitation. After you get there, that, then you start in your mind preparing yourself for what do I have to do to get ready for that event? Say it's a dinner party. Let's say a dinner party. What do I have to wear? You know, is it a short and t-shirt kind of event? Is it a khaki and a knit shirt kind of event? Is it a shirt tie kind of event? Or is it a full suit? Is it a black tie? For ladies, I'm not even going to go down that path. I mean, what do we have to wear? Do we have to wear a dress? Do we have to wear an evening gown? Do we have to wear full decked out jewelry? I mean, you know, the mind goes somewhere. But after we get past what we're going to wear, then you have to think, what am I supposed to bring a gift? You know, do we quickly go on Amazon Prime to figure out what gift we're supposed to bring? What's the appropriate gift? You know, price range, is it a $5 gift we need to bring to our host? $10, $20, what's too much, what's too little? You know, we go through our minds jump through that of we've been invited to this party, but we have to prepare ourselves for this party. Let me change the scenario for you for a second, okay? Imagine that the invitation to your feast, your banquet, came from the King of Glory. Imagine that invitation came from God Himself. And He's invited you to a feast that's being held in honor of His Son, Jesus Christ. Imagine for a second, picture it in your mind here, that at the end of that banquet table, as you arrive, is sitting Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do you see it? Do you capture it in your mind? And as you gather at the banquet table, you and I have been invited. And as you see where you're supposed to sit, as you look at the other chairs around this banquet table, you might expect that it's supposed to be kings and leaders of other countries, all these great dignitaries that are supposed to be seated at the other tables, other chairs. But instead, it's Christians from the past. It's those sitting around you today. It's boys and girls, brothers and sisters, loved by God. Hereby receiving the same invitation that you received to this great party, to this great banquet held for Jesus Christ. You have the image in your mind? Jesus Christ is prepared to receive us as guests, but also honor us in the same way as his friends. Because that's why you received that invitation. He has prepared the feast for us that we're sitting at. Now let me ask you another question. Would you accept the invitation if you received it? Would you accept that invitation if it came in the mail from God? After you decide that answer, the next question is, how would you prepare yourselves for the occasion? How would you prepare yourselves for that great banquet feast with Jesus Christ at the head of the table? How would you prepare yourselves, joining with our fellow guests, recognizing that the uniting factor that has brought us all to that same table is Jesus Christ, the uniting factor at the head? That is our focus this morning, on this day. That is our focus as we come to this banquet table, as we talk about koinonia participation. Now, I know that K word is a long word, and you might think, what in the world is that word up there? I'm going to get to it, just not yet. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. It'll be on the wall behind me as well. In the middle of the letter to the church at Corinth, Paul is talking about an issue that the Corinthians were struggling with. He was actually addressing a point that's going on in the Roman Empire in general for all church Christian churches, but he was addressing it to Corinth, this first letter to the Corinthian church. Well, I say the first letter. Many scholars believe that there was actually another letter that's lost in history. Paul actually refers to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. But in this letter, in this section of this letter, Paul is addressing the importance for Christians at the church to stay away from idols. Makes sense. Stay away from idols. But specifically, stay away from the participation in sacrificing the sacrifices that were left for idols or left on the altars of idols back in the Roman Empire that were left to quote-unquote other gods in this pluralistic society in the midst of the Roman Empire. Now, makes a little bit of sense, but we also say, well, that food doesn't really matter because other gods don't exist, it doesn't matter. Well, Paul was saying, we'll talk about this in a little bit more detail, he's saying, you got to understand why. So in the midst of this letter, in the midst of this address about avoiding idols and avoiding those sacrifices, he says two very important verses about communion, about this table, about this banquet table, and they reveal something about how we should be approaching this table. If you have your Bibles, again, reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just reading verses 16 and 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one. In the midst of this very detailed discussion about idols, he brings up two very important points about the body and blood of Christ, about communion for Christians. And maybe we really haven't thought about this, these two points before, because we have all come to the table before. We've all participated in the body and blood of Christ. But there's two things that we need to think about before we come to this table, before we partake of the bread, the body, and the blood of Christ. When we partake in these elements, when we partake in the body and blood of Christ in communion, we are joining with fellow Christians. We are joining with fellow Christians, past, present, and for all Christians to come. For Paul, in writing to the Corinthians and saying these verses, for Paul, the very sense of the practice of the Lord's Supper was the basic, fundamental event that brings the community of all Christians together. This act that we are going to practice today was the fundamental act for Paul that brings all Christians together. With Christ as the head of the church, just like we just said, as Christ is the head of the table, with Christ as the head of the church, one action that can bring all Christians together, no matter where they're located, no matter their means, how much money they have in their pocket, no matter their time zone, no matter their race, no matter their language that they speak, it is the practice of communion that passes all those divisions. This one act, the body and blood of Christ, the bread and the cup, brings clarity for the Christian church. Thought about that? Every Christian practices this one act. Now, they may do it in different ways, but every Christian practices this one act. Now, as a Christian historian and theologian, the church has argued about what's the right way to do it and what is the significance of the elements. How does it mean, or how is it transformed? I'm not going to go down that argument today. But what I am going to say is this. Nobody disagrees that they represent the body and blood of Christ. Every Christian believes that. Every Christian believes that. What a unifying factor. What a unifying factor that this act represents. This is what helps create partnership or a fellowship across any divide. And we live in a very divided time, but can you believe that all Christians can agree that this represents the body and blood of Christ? No division. That's powerful. And guess what the Greek word for partnership or fellowship is? It's that K word up there. Koinonia. Koinonia. Fellowship. Partnership. This act brings together all Christians. It unites us. We are united with Christians across the world when we participate in this act. But the partnership, the koinonia, does not stop there. It doesn't stop with just Christians across the world. The greater connection that this act connects us with, the greater koinonia, is our connection with the one at the head of the table, Jesus Christ our Lord. This partnership, this participation in this act, connects us with the one who sent out the invitation to the party. When we partake of the bread and the cup, we are becoming one with Him. Through communion, we are connected with Him and with each other. It's a horizontal and a vertical connection. All not just about taking the elements. It's about what these elements represent and what it drives us to do. As we gather for communion, we should be empowered, knowing that as a community of fellowship, extending across the globe, around this beautiful globe that we live on, Christians on every continent in this world will gather also to partake of the body and blood of Christ. We also should be empowered knowing that every Christian, that from this point, starting with the disciples at the Last Supper, and that every Christian that's led up to the point of being right here right now, when we take communion, we are connected with them too. Your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, your great-great-great-great-grandparents. All those Christians, we are connected with them when we partake of that communion. We're united with them. Think about that. But also think about this. That when our earthly time of pilgrimage is over, that whoever comes after us, that comes to the table and partakes of the body and blood of Christ, they are connected with us. That's how powerful and mysterious the power of this ordinance is. Did you ever think about that before? Or do we just think about bread and juice or bread and wine? This is the power of the blood and the body of Christ. And this is what Paul was trying to challenge the Corinthians about 2,000 years ago. He was saying, you've got to be careful because it's the power of what we're doing. But there was something else he said in these two verses. He was saying also this, communion is an act of participation too. Not just about the fellowship, the koinonia, but it's also an act of participation. Beyond simply just taking the bread and taking the cup, but full participation in the living work of Christ. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians are the only place in Scripture, the entire Bible, the only place in Scripture where communion is described as participation. Connected with the fellowship, when we come to the table, we are joining ourselves with what the table represents. In this case, we are joining with Christ's table. This is not the church's table. This is not with whoever donated this table to the church. This is not the hands that made this table. It's Christ's table. So when we partake in this table, we are joining with Christ and his mission. That's why Paul was warning the Corinthians about participating in the idol sacrifice, because he says it's not about the food that's lying there. He's saying if you partake in that sacrifice, you are saying that you are partaking in that table that it lies on. That you're partaking in that god, or that idol, or that demon. You can use the word demon in some translations. That's the power of what we're talking about. So when we participate in this table, we are aligning with Christ and committing ourselves to the work he has established for his people, for you, for me, the building of his kingdom on this earth. God's ultimate goal is to bring his people into perfect fellowship, perfect koinonia on this earth. That's his ultimate goal. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. That's his ultimate goal. The only way this can be achieved is through the building of his kingdom, through our work, and this should be a driving force. This is just a small taste of that fellowship, of that communion. Because perfect communion is being with the risen Lord. That's perfect communion. Until that exists, we commune with him through this participation. Christians are also challenged to participate by preparing ourselves for this meal. We should examine ourselves to see why we have come to partake in this today. Why did we come? Why did we choose to take the elements this morning as we came into the service? Why would we choose to participate in just a few moments? Are our attitudes right? What does Jesus see when he sits across from me as we're sitting at that banquet table that we've been invited to? What does he see? Prepare yourself for that moment. That's what we're all challenged to do before this. What do we need to confess? What sins are we holding back? What part of our life are we holding back from God that maybe we should be focusing on a little bit more? What are we holding back? What are we clinging on to and say, God, you can have everything else except for just this one little part. I'm going to hold this back from me. Whatever he reveals to you, confess it. Surrender those areas of life to him. Trust in him. God desires us to offer every part of our life. And that's participation. That's the participation he wants, to prepare ourselves to participate, and then we're driven out to do the work he has for us to do. And do you know why? Because we're sitting at the table with him. Because he is here today. He's here today. He has invited each of us to his table. He is here today. He is the symbolic elements of the bread and the cup today. He is here today. Your fellow guests are at the table with you, but he is here today. He is here in the church universal as they gather at the table, but he is here today. And he is here communing with us. The koinonia, the fellowship. He is here today. Let us pray and prepare ourselves for the table. Father, we first must give thanks for the sacrifice that was made for us in your Son Jesus the Christ. But we also come to give thanks today for this meal, this banquet that you have prepared for us, the opportunity to partake in the body and blood of Christ, this ordinance that we will observe in just a few moments is a reminder that we are all united through you and united with each other. But also we are challenged to participate. To participate in a way that goes beyond sometimes even our understanding. Participating in a way in this small glimpse of what true communion with you looks like. Recognizing that is a driving force, a challenge to go out and change the world as we build your kingdom. Father God, we also are reminded this day that we have to prepare ourselves individually for this invitation. So right now, and just in these moments of silence, may we prepare ourselves for this banquet feast. Amen. At this time, to prepare ourselves for communion, you can go ahead and remove your communion elements. from the Ziploc bag. At the conclusion of the communion, you'll place your elements back in that Ziploc bag, and we'll ask you to take those home with you and dispose of them on your own accord. The little white wafer is at the top of your communion element, that cup. There's a seal to get to that first before you get to the juice. If you're at home watching via Facebook Live at this time, retrieve your elements and be prepared for communion. We are told in Scripture that Jesus gathered with his disciples to celebrate a last meal, Passover meal. And as he gathered with them while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat." And again, he then took the cup. And he gave thanks. And he offered it to them, saying, "This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you, for many, for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of it, of the fruit of the vine, from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in the Father's kingdom." As we reflect on the bread, as we reflect on the cup this day, may we be reminded who sits at the head of the table and the sacrifice that he made for us. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, our Lord, we give thanks this day for the body that was broken and the blood that was shed for us. We thank you for that sacrifice and what it means for our lives, that we may know eternal life, that we may know koinonia, fellowship with you and with each other. For that, we give thanks this day. Amen. This is Christ's body, broken for you. Take and eat. This is the blood of Christ that was shed for you. Take and drink, all of you. Scripture tells us that after partaking of that meal, the disciples and Jesus sung a hymn and then they went out. And so that is how we will end our service today. We will sing and then we will depart. We'll also be reminded that this is an opportunity to be challenged and to confess. This is a reminder of the sacrifice that was made for us. So this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, if you have a confession to make, maybe you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe this experience, you finally realize the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you. Maybe for the first time in a new way. I encourage you not to hesitate to come forward, and I'll meet you down front. If you're watching via Facebook Live and you've experienced it in a new way, contact us this afternoon, this evening, or this week, and I'll be more than happy to talk with you. Or maybe you've realized that maybe this is the fellowship, the koinonia that you've been looking for. Maybe this church home is what you've been looking for and needing that connection. We will embrace you with open arms here at First Baptist Church of Elon. And we'll work and minister beside you as we continue to build the kingdom of God here. Come down front as well. I'll greet you with open arms, virtual open arms, and we will welcome you into our body of believers here. Or maybe you just need some time with Christ and God, and the altar is His. It's always open. Come forward at this time. You can pray. I'll have a word of prayer with you, whatever you may need today. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. Whatever decision needs to be made, make it this morning. Him this week as we go. Go in peace.